First, our next guest believes the principles of design are about a lot more than just aesthetics. She sees design as a tool to create better lives and solve real-world problems.
Leslie Sager put these ideals to work with her students at UW-Madison, building solar lights, cardboard shelters, and a women's artisan workshop in Kenya.
Leslie runs the Interior Architecture Program at UW-Madison. She's also the director of the Design Thinking for Social Innovation Initiative at the School of Human Ecology. Leslie, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, you have a bachelor's degree in social work and a master's in interior design. How do you see those two relating to each other?
They relate very well, actually, because I'm very interested in the arts, but I'm also extremely interested in impacting people's lives. So combining those two things in the form of design has been a highlight for me.
And design thinking, we're starting to see this phrase and we're starting to see it put into practice in new and innovative ways. Can you walk us through that? Can you make the case that design is so much more than just putting together beautiful things or useful things, but it's something a lot bigger?
Absolutely. And I'm very passionate about this as well. A lot of people think of design as something that you make, and it is, but it is also a process. So with design thinking, what we're doing is we're applying the process that designers do every day. And it starts with empathy. The first thing we do is really think about the people that we're designing for and the importance of how they live their lives. And then we define it, and then we start to come up with ideas. And then the next step with design thinking is really all about prototyping and testing those ideas with the people so that we can very quickly make decisions whether things can move forward or whether they've failed and we need to move on.
So you start with empathy. That's interesting.
Exactly.
That's not the word I would have expected to come first. So is that the same word that you would use to begin a process, say, if you're building a lampshade versus you're trying to improve someone's life?
It could be. Building a lampshade is a little bit more product-based and it's a little more aesthetic, but we may also be thinking about the way that lampshade will shield the light in a certain situation. So we would want to think about the people that are using that light source and how that will impact the way they use it. So they're always involved.
Now, you challenged your students to create shelters for people who'd been displaced from their homes due to a natural disaster. Tell us about what they came up with.
Sure. That was actually several years ago. I became fascinated with design thinking and the process itself and how that you can come up with very innovative ideas through this process, and that it really is about divergent thinking and drawing from other resources and getting experiences from other people to come together and come up with innovative solutions. So I wanted my students to come up with cardboard disaster relief shelters that could be installed very, very quickly and transported very, very fast. And they came up with a number of them, and one of them ended up being built to full scale and put in Design Amoka back in, I think it was 2012, so it was quite a while ago.
Madison Museum of Contemporary Art.
That's correct.
And what did it look like, that one?
It looked a little like a yin-yang. The students wanted to create, they'd learned from the users, or the survivors, that many people, when they've been through a crisis, they really want to be able to have a time to reflect and have time to be quiet, but also they want to be around people. So they developed a shelter where it had two doors on either side, almost like a yin-yang. They were like walls, essentially, that could open when they wanted to embrace the community or close when they wanted to be alone. So it became a kind of a flexible space. And then they designed it in such a way that it was all interlocking mailing tubes, but they would also fit within each other that fit within the rooftop of the piece, so it could be easily shipped.
And did those end up getting used anywhere in just that kind of situation?
They did not, although it would be wonderful. Although what ended up happening is that somebody saw what we were doing and they were intrigued by it, and they happened to have a connection with Kenya and connected to me, thinking that perhaps these shelters would be useful in Kenya, where their buildings get washed away due to the monsoon season. And that's how I actually ended up in Kenya.
Right, and I know that's the next chapter of your design life and what you're doing now. As we talk with Leslie Sager, who runs the Interior Architecture Program at UW-Madison, and we're talking about how you can use design not just to make things function or to look beautiful, but to build better lives. And that gets us on the road to Kenya. And Leslie, tell us what happened in Kenya. What did you do there?
Sure. Well, I went there to see if building these cardboard shelters was a viable solution. And it turned out that there was interest, but the shipping was a problem. But I also wanted to see what else was happening. And while I was there, I met a woman who had started an alternative rite of passage for the girls in her region who were originally going through FGM, which is female genital mutilation. And what she was doing is she came up with another opportunity for the girls to go, another type of tradition for them to go through in lieu of something that is very unhealthy. And so I got to visit with her, and during that time I had a conversation about the fact that there wasn't enough money for the girls to go to school for school fees. And so we talked about empowering the women, the mothers of the daughters, to help them so that they can support their girls.
And I imagine there you are, and you're trying to think about design thinking to mm-hmm. apply to how do we get these girls through school? How do we get right. them to continue on and have a bright future? And what did you come up with, and how did you apply that?
Well, it started with a course that I taught. I teach design thinking, and the first one I taught was about 4 years ago, I believe, through the School of Human Ecology. And I had my Kenyan friend come here, and my students applied the design thinking process, the empathy part and the defining and the ideating, and came up with different ideas of ways to empower the women in this community. One of them had to do with product development and how to support the women through the traditional crafts that they have. And that led to some wonderful opportunities with the women where we started to work with them on color schemes, and not patterns, because we want them to maintain their traditional craft. But the students here worked with them on developing ways to create a product that I could then bring back here and sell.
And it sounds like your students had a lot of ideas. Extracting mm-hmm. oil from plants, I remember, mm-hmm. was one of them. What were some of the other ideas that were tossed around before you settled on your course?
I still run this course, and actually,
meaning
we
settled
still
on the product that you mm-hmm. were going to emphasize.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Well, I've settled on several, actually. So it was the baskets was one of them that I came back and tested when I was in Kenya, and that was successful. Another one was solar-powered lights. I had some students design battery-operated solar-powered LED lights, and my restriction was that it couldn't cost more than $2.50 to make. And then I brought my students back, and we tested that. One of the projects that we're working on, and hopefully will be successful this year, is the oil extraction project. So every year we have a number of projects, and then every year I go back and test them in the communities. And this is all through the design thinking course. And it's really wonderful because the course actually draws from a lot of students throughout the campus and really speaks to our design innovation initiative, design thinking for social innovation, because it really requires that the teams are very diverse, that each member of that team has a different craft or different skill. They're either a designer, or they're an engineer, or they're in the community nonprofit leadership program. And so those skills really come together to create innovative new ideas.
So as you said, this is ongoing. Have you mm-hmm. had the chance to see how some of this design thinking has impacted these women and their daughters in Kenya?
Absolutely. Every year I go back, or at least I have for quite a while now, about 4 years, and I meet with the same women as often as I possibly can, and I always ask them about what they've done how this has benefited them. And the solar power has really helped them because their children now are able to study at night. They're able to produce bags quicker because typically they can only work at night, and it takes them about a month to make a bag because of the fact that they're farming during the day. So they're able to make more, and they're able to make them faster. They're also feeling a lot more empowered. So one of my women friends, Eunice, was able to buy a goat the first time, and the goat was pregnant, so she got two. And then the second year, she was able to buy a bed. She'd never had a bed before, so that was the first time she'd ever had a mattress.
Wow, so and those then, are some real tangible benefits.
Yep. And then this last time I talked to her, she was sending her girl to university, actually, which was really, really impressive. So it's pretty exciting that I'm really helping them come up with new ways of helping themselves.
So a lot of success there, but I imagine there's also fails. What happens when you have an idea? It sounds great. you think it's great, you did the design thinking process, but it fails and it just doesn't work. And it made somewhere along the line, something got lost.
Well, we let it go. We take the bits that we got from it that made a lot of sense, and then we sometimes have to let it go if it fails, and other times we simply reframe the question. So it's not that there isn't still a problem. We still want to solve that problem, but if we reframe the question in a different way, then sometimes we can come at a solution that works better for them.
So this is something you emphasize. We've been talking a lot about your work in Kenya, but this is something that can be applied, I think, in anyone's life, design thinking. Can you give us some ideas about how to do this, how to start with maybe a problem that needs to be solved or a way that we're looking for improvement and how to apply those same principles?
Sure. It usually is helpful to have a problem, something that you do want to solve, and to have a group of people that are interested in solving that with you, because it really is a team type activity. And to reframe the problem or to come up with a question, like a how might we question, how might we help women transport water? That might be the question. And then work on that together and start to brainstorm, come up with different ways of addressing that problem, then coming up with ideas, and then making it visual is the key. And we can do this with any business or any product development. It's all about making it visual so other people can see what you're thinking. And once you make it visual, then you can start to address it, or people can add to it, or then they can say, yes, that's what I had in mind, or no, I'd like to change that. This is really more what I was thinking. So there's a lot of that and a lot of observation as well, and a lot of iteration. So a lot of going back and testing it again.
And it sounds like, you know, if it doesn't work, you pick up what you can and you keep going.
Exactly.
Great. Well, Leslie, inspiring stuff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Leslie Sager runs the Interior Architecture Program at UW-Madison. She's also the director of the Design Thinking for Social Innovation Initiative at the School of Human Ecology, joining us here today to talk about using design thinking to build better lives.
Coming up, a climate scientist joins us to talk about the draft of a federal climate change report the New York Times published last night and possible responses and reactions from the Trump administration on that issue. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.